Make sure you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
First, let me say how wrong-headed I think it was when folks went through the New Testament and scrounged together all the items referred to as gifts and then majored in the minor of unpacking them as definitive. I don't think anywhere Paul suggests these lifts are definitive. Rather, they are all representative.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Romans.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. In our last podcast, we heard Paul transitioning from contemplating the relationship of Israel and church to what it means for believers in Jesus, either Jew or Gentile, to live together as God's own people in this new age. Remember how much help we got from J.B. Phillips and his wonderful translation of this section, with eyes wide open to the mercies of God. Mercies that he had extolled this being for all, since God shut everyone up in the pen of disobedience, so that his mercy might be given to all, with eyes open and fixed on that mercy. St. Paul urged the Roman Christians and us to give our bodies back to God as living sacrifices. In view of Christ's sacrifice for us all, we are all summoned to live in the great freedom of being God's servants, his worshipers, offering a holy and acceptable and spiritual or logical or rational oblation to him. Remember the relationship of that word logikos to logos, or word. And he specified that this logical worship took the form of not letting the world squeeze us into its mold, but rather to be shaped by God, giving us new minds, new outlooks, new ways of thinking. And we saw that these new ways of looking at things shift it from our natural, native, avoid pain, seek pleasure principles that are governed by our own desires to living under the aspect of the resurrection and instead trying to figure out what God wants us to do, that he would find good and acceptable and perfect in a given situation. And yes, we saw that meant thinking in terms of his will expressed for us in the Ten Commandments, that our lives be directed by love in the full assurance of his love in Christ. Picking up then at the third verse of Romans chapter 12. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. Let us pray. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, to us and to your whole church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but a free course, and be preached and taught to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name, abide to our end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You ready to dig in? Let's do it. Verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. St. Paul has already demolished any Jewish pretensions for pride. He's just obliterated the Gentile pretensions by reminding them that they stand only by grace and that if they fall into unbelief, God will no more spare them than he spared the Jewish or natural branches in his olive tree. And it's a theme that he's been pounding home since the very beginning. Remember the trap he laid back in Romans 1 and 2? How easy it was for them to judge them and to overlook that, hey, you're guilty of the exact same things. But if we're all here in the body of Christ, by the grace of Christ, by forgiveness, and not by achievement or in consideration of our own talents and abilities, then we need to learn to think with a sober judgment about ourselves. And let's take the man who's writing this as an example. He could be fierce in defending the apostleship entrusted to him, but never in his own assessment of himself. Remember what he wrote to Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. As we sing, chief of sinners though I be, how different would life be in the body of Christ if every member of the same used that sober judgment, not drunk with self-approval, and recognized that he or she was chief sinner, not only as bad as, but honestly worse than everyone else. You might say, hey, that makes no mathematical sense. But this is part of thinking with that new mind St. Paul was just praising. This is how faith measures. Faith is only what it's given. It's not about what you bring to the table, just about the free love of God for you in Christ. Verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. This analogy of the body is the same one St. Paul uses to tackle the problem in Corinth, remember, where folks were priding themselves on their spiritual gifts. Oh, so you don't speak in tongues. Such a pity. I'll pray for you. Oh, you haven't wrought healing with the laying on of hands. Isn't that a shame? Well, you get the idea. Rotten to the core. It's trying to appropriate gifts that God gave for the good of the whole and use them to exalt one individual believer over the others. No room for that nonsense. And Paul points out how silly we'd be if we tried that out with our bodies. Can the eye boast that it can see while the ear can't? Well, where would be the hearing then? Don't we see how all the many members of our body actually work so in unity that we only notice when we're sick or injured if something doesn't function in unity with the rest? So with Christ's body, the church, even though each one of us is an individual member of Christ's body, none of us have the same function. In fact, I think I'd not be wrong to point out that while God might enjoy and create with patterns, he doesn't seem to do any one individual in a way that is the exact same as any other, not even identical twins. In fact, each one ends up being a rather unique piece of his artwork, and so each one has a unique role in his new humanity in the body of Christ. But don't lose that last little bit, that individually, we're not just members of the body of Christ, but members of each other. There's a connection that you have to the body of Christ and to the people who are in it that others don't have. Your role in that connection is quite simply to be the person God created and redeemed you to be, alive with the Spirit in his Son. And so using whatever gifts God has seen fit to bestow on you in love for the people to whom you are joined in the body. Verse 6. having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So you have a gift from God that differs from what I have. I'm going to pick on Doug. He has a gift that blows me away. Hey, he may not get along beautifully with a lot of people, but does he ever get along beautifully with the green stuff in God's creation? He loves plants, and they seem to love him. I've seen him more or less oblivious to any people going on around him as he's focused entirely on the plant that's in front of him. He's a gift to the body of Christ. He uses that gift to bless our church and to bless lots of older folk in our village who no longer can quite handle their green stuff. I am not gifted like Doug with that gift by any stretch of the imagination. Maybe you are. Maybe you're a plant whisperer. But I love how God made Doug to be Doug and to do his Doug thing to the blessing of the body. Paul's urging us all like that. He starts with some specific gifts he names out. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. First, let me say how wrong-headed I think it was when folks went through the New Testament and scrounged together all the items referred to as gifts and then majored in the minor of unpacking them as definitive. I don't think anywhere Paul suggests these lifts are definitive. Rather, they are all representative. He's listing a few to give you the idea of how the whole works. First one, prophecy, or literally speaking forth God's word, in proportion to our faith, or as it is sometimes rendered, in conformity to our faith, according to the analogy of the faith. That's a more literal translation. The church has usually taken this to mean teaching according to the church's confession of the faith in Jesus, not deviating from that with your own bright ideas. Service, well, that's kind of self-explanatory, I think. Doug performs service, but it's obviously wide open. In fact, the word used there in the Greek might be rendered, if deaconing, and you're deaconing. Service, then, especially rendered to the bodily needs of your neighbor. Teaching, that is, expounding the scriptures, exhorting or encouraging, giving in generosity, leading with zeal, not being lackadaisical, acts of mercy done with cheerfulness. Remember in 2 Corinthians, Paul will speak about how God loves it when we give with cheerfulness, the same word from which we derive the word hilarity. What the entire, for instance, list has about it is the plea not to do any of those things either in pride or in a perfunctory and careless way, but realizing that in doing them, we are all stewards of God's varied graces, as St. Peter would put it, and we are out to serve and bless others. They're all outward directed, not inward. They're not about you. They're about God having use of you to be a blessing to other members of the body of Christ. When that great 5th century patriarch of Antioch and Constantinople, St. John Chrysostom, summarized this, he wrote these penetrating words. For it is not just with money that St. Paul wants us to help those in need, but with words, deeds, in person, and in every other way. We're miles away here from our disinterested practice of charity, where we toss money at a problem and never consider that the problem in front of us actually is a person, and a person dearly loved by God, bought just as you have been bought by the same priceless blood of Christ. No room for pride, then, in how we treat any member of the human race, but above all, not in how we treat any of our fellow baptized. St. Paul will go into much more detail in the next little section as he describes what this weird community of people who have been brought back from death to life by Jesus look like in action. That's going to have to wait till next time. Till then, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or a comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.